Oh my God.
You're listening to Chasing Prophecy Radio, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. On UPRN Talk Radio, FM 107.7 in New Orleans and FM 105.3 in Mississippi.
If it's unexplainable, we're talking about it.
Whether you're a believer or a skeptic, we cover everything where the unknown becomes the known. And now, here are your hosts, Jenny Nicasio and Tom Callaway.
Welcome to Chasing Prophecy on 105 points. I think there's a gremlin in my room. Thank you.
You're good.
I'm having a function. Welcome to Chasing Prophecy on 105.3.
We're off to a rousing start this week.
105.3 Henderson Point and 107. Oh my God, I'm having a freaking brain freeze. 105.7 New Orleans. I swear I'm not drinking, folks. I swear. I don't know what's going on. It must be something.
Well, that's the problem. You're not. If you were, we would have gotten through the first read.
Oh, Lord, help me. Well, thank you for tuning in, guys. Hi, everybody. I don't know who's there, but I say hi. Oh, my God. This is
hello. Hello.
Hi, Cindy. I swear I'm not doing anything legal either. Okay. All right. Let's start over, guys. Okay. Yes. This is live radio. I'm Jenny Nicasio, along with my fabulous co-host, Tom Callaway. I don't know why my thing sounds so stupid today. I don't know what's wrong with this thing. There's something wrong. I don't know. I don't know if it's hooked up right. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us tonight, guys, all across America and beyond. I'm Jenny Nicasio, along with my fabulous co-host, Tom Callaway. We're broadcasting live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but we are heard on the radio in New Orleans. Whew. Okay. And we're broadcasting on multiple platforms, including Roku. So if you're in the chat, say hello. Hi, Cindy.
Cindy, always a pleasure to have Cindy aboard. Thank you so much, Cindy.
I love when I get the giggles, I swear.
But first time on Roku. First time. New audience.
Well, not really. This is the second we were on before, but that was a year and a half ago. But we're back on Roku.
Back on, and there we go.
Right. Yeah, back on Roku. So if you happen to be tuning in tonight, make sure you chat with us because we want some chats. Hi. Hello.
Hi,
there.
Rose.
I want to push myself up a little bit. I'm too low. I felt like I was limited. Okay. Well, we have a fabulous show tonight. I'm just saying. I'm sorry, guys. We have a fabulous show. We have a really cool guest tonight. She's a film producer, director, documentaries. And I am so excited because I want to learn more about this Frogman. This show, I'm going to go ahead and bring her on without further ado. Thank you for joining us tonight, Lauren. And I'm not normally like this, I swear.
Well, thank you for having me on. I want whatever you're having. You're having a great time.
Well, I don't know what it is. I think it's the sun. I was out in the sun too long today.
Heat stroke.
I was doing yard work, stuff like that.
Yard work, yeah.
So that could be why I'm so goofy.
Rolling leaves, I guess, is what they call it now.
I was blowing leaves. Blowing leaves. Yes. Maybe I got too much dust.
I mean, who am I to judge? I do a cryptid and paranormal podcast, so.
Yeah. Well, see, my camera's even off weird because I had a little incident yesterday when I spilled water all over everything, and I had to unplug everything. So my I was running late.
As an IT professional, let me just, you know, IT explain here. Water and technology are not very good together.
No, I know. I don't want to get electrocuted too, because the cord, I spilled a whole thing of water. It went onto my plugs. So Lauren, tell me about yourself and our audience. Tell our audience about you and what brought you to this realm of Frogman.
Yeah.
Frogman. So I own a company with my husband. It's called JL Aerial Views. The J for John, L for Lauren. And in 2020, we started a drone business together when we were both furloughed from our jobs. And we're like, you know, what's next? So we started flying, and that's been a lot of fun. We do a lot of stuff with real estate. We've worked with a couple ad agencies. And in 2 years ago, what's time anymore?
I felt that with all of my soul.
Since 2020, I'm like, I don't even know anymore. But 2 years ago, we moved to the Loveland area, and we decided we wanted to move specifically to Loveland instead of the neighboring neighborhood, because Loveland is home to the Frogman. Mm-hmm. And we have always been interested in cryptids. I know I've loved X-Files and Supernatural, all that kind of stuff from a very young age.
Yeah.
And I think there's got to be more out there than what they're telling us. So I and my husband decided to make a documentary on the Frogman, because we were thinking of creative ways we could get our drone footage out there. And we started researching, and it turned out to be a pretty cool documentary. It's about 20 minutes long, and the focus became more on the town than it did on the Frogman. But it was really interesting getting to research this critter.
Yeah.
Critter, huh? Definitely one of the not talked about enough cryptids around, you know, in a landscape dominated by skinwalkers and Bigfoot and Nessie and things like that. But, you know, you're doing your part for your town and all of that. And, you know, I'm so glad you made that decision to go to Loveland. And here we are talking years later. So clearly you had that in mind when, you know, you made that decision back then. But Lauren, I've known you for a little bit now. I had an encounter with you on a different show, and that was great. That was a wonderful episode. So I've heard a little bit about your story. So I think my questions are a little more in depth about, you know, what you bring to the table. So in terms of the documentary, you know, you won an award for this. So this isn't like something you made and you threw up on YouTube, and that's not to discredit anybody there, but, you know, you actually won an award for this one. So when you know, you say you just decided and you did it, if that was the case, what happened? What were you like when you found out you won Best Documentary?
It was pretty surprising. We entered into a couple different film festivals on filmfreeway.com, and a couple of them were pretty far away, you know, New York, Athens, Greece. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, we weren't there to get the news that we won. So we got it through an email, which was always pretty exciting.
Yeah.
You know, instead of getting a, you know, you have a bill due, it's, yeah, you won an award for best director. And we've also won best drone footage. So that was pretty exciting. We got to celebrate here. But
it was fun. No, you helped put the town on the map a little bit, you know, with your footage and a local, you know, it was all local. So it wasn't like somebody flying into Loveland, using whatever the footage is and then leaving and that's it, you know. So definitely, hopefully the town rallies around you with things like that, because that's definitely wonderful. And you know, I have a little experience in the filmmaking side of things. So, you know, any credit, you know, please, you know, my hat's off to you for that, because I know how much work goes into it. And, you know, with the drone footage, let me ask you this. It has nothing to do with the Frogman, but how hard is it to learn how to fly a drone?
Actually, so people that have toy drones, those are a lot harder than the ones that we buy. Absolutely.
So like the Best Buy ones you see on the shelf, those are a lot harder.
Those are a lot harder, because the ones that we fly that aren't the FPV style, the first person view, the GPS-based ones, when you stop moving the controls, it hovers.
So oh, that's a lot easier like that. Those toys. Yeah.
A lot of them have, at least the ones that we use, have obstacle avoidance. So, you know, you still have to be on the lookout and be careful, but it will give you a warning that you're getting too close to a tree or something like that. So it's a lot easier than those toy ones that people talk about.
Wow. Wonderful. So, yeah, I had no idea that it just hovers and things like that, because I'm like, you know, there's a pretty decent camera on it and a lot of technology. So I was like, man, you have to be really on it to make sure it doesn't fall out of the sky and break. But I'm glad it has that kind of control on it, you know, hopefully. So with your area, you know, and where you're at in Loveland, right? I believe you're Southern Ohio.
Yeah, Southwest.
Southwest Ohio. All right. So, you know, you have a lot of hilly terrain, right? It's on the outskirts of Appalachian Mountains and things like that. Do you use your drones, you and your husband, to look for other cryptids like Bigfoots and things like that, you know, out in the woods?
We have before. Yeah, we went to the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival. Oh. I believe it was last year, and we got a cabin, and we didn't feel quite comfortable just walking around in the dark looking for Bigfoot on, you know,
understandably.
We didn't want to, you know, fall off a cliff or anything, but, you know, watching Finding Bigfoot and some of those shows, a lot of those sightings, it's people driving in their car. You know, they're coming home late at night at work or whatever. True. So we were just driving around late at night, and we would use our thermal drone and just kind of stick it above my Jeep. We had the top open on the Jeep. And we're looking around. We found some cats hiding in the forest. We found some deer, but we did not see anything with the drone, unfortunately. We have had wood knocks before, which is always exciting.
That's always a sign, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just definitely. So what's this frogman like? I mean, I watched a couple videos on YouTube. And Tell about people who don't, because not too many people. I never heard of Frogman before. So for all the people that don't know what he is or what's he look like, give us a little rundown.
Sure. So Frogman was first spotted in the 50s, and there were three of them that were spotted, and they're about 4 foot tall, grayish, greenish in color. One of them had what looked like a wand that was sparking at the end of it. And then he wasn't seen again until about the 70s. And it was just dart across the road, same description, about 4 feet. And I believe that one was a police officer that spotted him. And then a couple weeks later, he decided, no, that wasn't a 4 foot frog creature walking on two legs. That was an iguana, a tailless iguana. So that's kind of where it started in the early days. In 2016, there was a guy playing at Lake Isabella, playing Pokemon Go on his phone. And it was late at night, and he actually caught a video and photograph of this giant frog. And you can see it clear as day in this picture. And it caught some national news. And there's a lot of people around town that know somebody that knows somebody that has seen the Frogman, but never get to talk to anybody that's actually seen him. But the entire town has really gotten behind it. There's several businesses that use the Frogman as a logo. There's a Frogman race in September. It's a triathlon, but instead of the swimming part, they do kayaking down the Little Miami River, because that's a big feature for our town. And we just totally embrace it. There's a Frogman festival that started last year, so it keeps getting bigger and bigger every year.
Now, this Frogman, he's just like another cryptic. He doesn't communicate with anybody. He walks like erect and everything.
He is on two legs, and I don't believe he's talked to anybody. I don't know if there was any like telecommunication or anything like that, but as far as I know, doesn't talk to anybody, and it's not been aggressive towards anyone. It's just a giant frog that people see every once in a while walking around on two legs.
Could he just be like a frog that through evolution just maybe got big? And does he make noises like a frog? Like grup? You know, like
frog noises.
Yeah, like Hermit.
Well, hello there. I don't know that he's done any talking. And it is possible that some sort of creature maybe evolved to be quite large like that. Mm-hmm. We talked to our local ecology group about frogs in the area and what frog we have that's really big. A bullfrog gets pretty big, but not nearly
nothing.
Yeah. And I don't know of any frog species that walks on two legs. Other people think that maybe it's some sort of dog with mange or something like that.
Yeah. Did it ever hurt anybody?
And no reports of anybody ever getting hurt.
He doesn't make any sound.
Not that I've heard of.
So an interesting part about the backstory, because I have heard of the frogmen, and part of it was why when I saw you and came in contact with you was, oh, wow, that's something that people haven't talked about. I believe, Jenny, there was this like fork in the road back in the day where it was, is it more of a reptilian type creature or a frogman? You know what I mean? Like a frog humanoid type one. Now, South Carolina and around Appalachia, there has been reports of people seeing these reptilian like upright walking things. So it's not, if you were to believe that, it's not uncommon that somebody could say, oh, it's another one of them. However, in that 2016 photo, it looked like it looked more like a frog than anything. And if you were to like make it frog and human, it was probably like 65 frog, 35 human. Like it had the humanoid features, but you could definitely, it was green, it had the big eyes, it had everything like that. Now I've actually seen, if you go to a local bar and at late at night, you see people start looking like frogs. So it could, you know, somebody could have stumbled out, you know, gut and ribbit, all that kind of stuff, gullet and all that. So, you know, you never know around there, because I'm assuming that the local bar clientele in Southern Pennsylvania is probably the same as Southern Ohio. So not to, you know, we have to keep an objective mind here, but anyway, you know, with that reptilian thing, I have, you know, and Jenny, please feel free to correct me or disagree. But when I read into the story, I didn't believe this would be some sort of, I didn't believe this would be some sort of like cryptid flesh and blood type thing that lives in Southern. I was almost under the impression of this thing is alien. You know what I mean? It's something that like doesn't really know us that well and tried to take on a form that it thought would be here and just butchered it. So the alien's like a praying mantis. So yeah, the type of creature. Perfect. Mm-hmm. The amphibian, the insect type thing, there have been reports all over the world of aliens taking on forms of bigger versions of them. What do you think about that?
Of him taking on
whether it not being a blood, flesh and blood type creature that lives in Southern Ohio and more of like an alien, you know what I mean, coming down to Earth. And that's maybe how you can describe the jumps in years.
I was just going to say, like, that's the only thing that seems to make sense, because it seems like it's every, I don't know, 20 to 30-ish years that he pops up. That should be my second documentary. Maybe there's some sort of pattern to when he shows up.
And why only Ohio? Like, did he go to Pennsylvania ever or to Maryland? No reports.
I've only heard Loveland Frogman is as like the first one. Now, Lauren, are they all in Loveland or are they in the surrounding areas? And it's just called that because it was the first.
Actually, it's more towards, I guess it's Sims Township, but it's kind of weird. We have three different townships, but it's all the Loveland area, but it is all Loveland. Like we've got Milford really close to us and Mason, and it's all happening right in Loveland. And it was really cool in the drone video that we got. When you're up high enough, you can see all three points. So at 400 feet, you can see all three of the main sightings are very close to each other, all within about a mile, and they're all along the river.
Okay. And that actually leads into one of my next questions, you know, in the cryptid world, because you love cryptids, I love cryptids. Water sources, that seems to be prevalent across all any major, you know, cryptid sighting, except for the desert Southwest, but there's no water there. What do you, in your opinion, what does a good cryptid story need, or sighting, encounter, whatever you want to call it?
Good cryptid story. So there's always that element of surprise. It's always somebody late at night, right?
Yeah.
Gosh, in terms of what makes that keep going, or for that?
Well, person? Like, okay, wow, that's a good story. What are the elements of it? So I would say, you know, around water, because everything needs water, right? You need water to live. In an area that's remote, I would say, is another one. For the frogman, you don't really hear too many in a marshy area. You know, you have skunk ape down south, but, you know, that might be the only one. So if you hear a good story, I think it would need, you need to have it written down. And I think the job of whoever, and this is fair or unfair, but I think the job of the person seeing it needs to be something credible. Like you mentioned, a police officer, mm-hmm. even though he might have retracted it, even though he might have went back, he still talked about it. I think if you have the water, you have somebody verifying, you don't have one person and there's multiple, and then the geographic area, I think you need those elements.
I would agree with that. Also, like the 2016 sighting, he's got a picture. I mean, technology, the way it's getting an AI, yeah, that's going to be easier now.
Do you have any pictures you can show us handy?
I can get it.
Lauren, let me ask you something. Does he just look like a regular creature, like a frog? He doesn't wear any clothes or anything, does he? I just wonder. No. It's not funny because I know somebody that said they saw something like that walk across his yard, but he had like a cape on, but he looked like a frog.
So he does not have any reported sightings of having any clothes. The only like human type element that he's been reported with was that a wand. That's not really a human thing. That's kind
okay,
of
okay. A wand. Okay, because this guy said he saw a wand, like he was holding something that looked like a scepter, like, you know what I mean, like a sort of like a wand, but he had a cape on, he had clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy doesn't wear any clothes. That you,
he does not. And I think another thing that would make a credible legend is if you have multiple sightings and they all have the same description.
And this is all the same.
And they all got the same description.
Let me see if I can. Let me share this. I can't see. It's too little.
Yeah.
Can you make it bigger?
You see that?
Oh, no, those are eyes.
Yeah, those are eyes.
Is he sitting down? Is he sitting on a lily pond? Is he sitting down?
No, he's supposed to be in water there. Like this is the water
he's
around.
Sitting, okay, is he walking in water or is he sitting with his legs crossed? It looks like his legs are crossed.
I think that's the reflection right there where you see. I think his bottom half is right underwater right there.
So yeah, he's standing.
In the Miami River in that photo there.
Those are his arms?
Mm-hmm.
There.
Could it be that he was like a military person wearing some kind of a aqua thingamajigger, you know, like a suit?
I mean, maybe. Like, I can see how a misidentification could lead to
scuba suit on or something. It looks like he has goggles.
I mean, the eyes were big. The eyes were really big. If this is a guy playing Pokemon Go and he stumbled across a training exercise, I don't live in the area. Maybe,
is there any military bases
around there?
There is no military base close by. And it's actually at this point going through part of a public park. And people don't generally, I don't know about military operations. They're not going to go scuba diving in the Little Miami River. Especially at night, there's nothing to see. Visibility is going to be bad. Lots of trees and things like that, especially by yourself.
I've never come across anything like that.
Now that made local news and everything like that, right? In your area?
Oh, it did. It made, wow, that's crazy.
Okay. So, because that, well, I just was saying, because that picture I got was from a local, looked like a local TV channel in that area. So the thing is if it was hoaxed or it was somebody playing a joke on this kid, whether he was in on it or not, somebody just trying to be funny, if it got that much attention, where's the copycat factor? That always seems to happen when there are the genuine faked things. They like to come out, you know what I mean? Or somebody else sees it, sees the pub that they get, and then tries it themselves. It's going on, what, 8 years, and we haven't heard anything else other than that one?
So after the 2016, there was, when we were doing our research in 2023, at the beginning of the year, we went to Mile 42 Coffee Shop, and their logo is a frogman holding a cup of coffee, which I love. Nice. But we're nice branding. We're standing there getting our cup of coffee, and there is a newspaper article that is printed and laminated and right by the register. And I didn't really think anything of it because I don't follow the news much. But Frogman caught my eye, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So I read the article, and this person said that they saw Frogman, and they were going fishing early in the morning, and their dog got out of the car and was chasing after it and was very detailed. And I was super excited about this, and I reached out to him, and he told me that the entire thing was made up.
Well, you know, I'm looking at one on right now, Cryptic Wiki, that looks
good. Site.
It looks made up. I mean, it looks like it's somebody's wearing a costume or some kind of costume.
In the 2016 one?
Let me see what it is.
Or was it 2023 one?
This picture, 2001. I'll see if I can.
Oh, was there a 2001 sighting?
According to this,
I guess
this was Officer Mark Matthews. Is that him? The one you interviewed? No, is it? He's retired. Explained the incidents, and I guess his picture doesn't say where this picture came from. It could be this could be from a local farmer. I'm going to try to.
So it's the 1972 encounter, that was the two Loveland police officers. Those Charlie Reynolds and Marvin Matthews. We did not reach out to those guys. I don't know how to get a hold of them. We interviewed a lot of local businesses that are close to the river and also use the Frogman as part of their promotion.
Oh yeah, it's great to bring people in. You know. I'm going to see if I can find this.
Point Pleasant does it often with
Mothman.
And hopefully Loveland can grow to that point. You said they just had one, right? They had their first annual one?
This year was the second one that they did.
Oh, okay. So second.
Mm-hmm. And the first year was at Great Wolf Lodge, and then this year was at a bigger convention center. So it keeps getting bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the convention thing is in, right? And you know, people want to, I don't know. I think now people are more looking for experiences too. Mm-hmm. And so Point Pleasant, first of all, if you have to go there, or if you want to go there for Mothman, you got to fly into an airport and then drive, you know, there's really no getting down there otherwise. So Loveland, hopefully they're closer to a major airport and it's not as hard to get there, you know, and hopefully it can grow and things like that.
Yeah, we're about 40 minutes away from CVG airport.
Yeah, so I mean that's nothing. I'm probably with traffic 40 minutes away from Philadelphia International. So you have to kind of assume, plus nothing like this ever happens in a city anyway. You know. But real quick, guys, I got to do a read here. Why don't you take a look at these? Look how cool these things are, huh? You see that? It's spring cleaning time, and boy, do I know it. Now, there's a product called Smart Labels. Let me tell you, your future self is going to love you for getting this. Here's how it works. You buy Smart Labels QR code labels on Amazon, stick them on your storage bins, boxes, totes, anything that closes, and you can't see what's in there. download the Smart Labels app from either the Google Play or iOS App Store. Scan the QR code and catalog all the stuff going into the bin with a name, description, and picture. Then, months down the road, when you're looking for that thing you know you stored somewhere, you can just search the app and it will tell you where you put it. My winter clothes? Bin 7. That purse that came back in style? Oh, look, bin 5. Seriously, people are calling this organizing magic. So if you're doing some spring cleaning, getting ready for a summer move, or just wanted to get organized, you need to check out Smart Labels on Amazon. That's Smart Labels, one word, and get started with your Smart Labels pack today.
That's what I need.
That's
isn't that cool?
Definitely need that.
You know, I'm telling you, I have a storage unit. It's going to save me a ton of time. You just put it on. All right, it's in bin, you know, it's in the second storage unit and it's in the back. I think that's great. But anyway, enough about that. Cindy, I'll keep my eyes open in Pennsylvania. So would I. He might, I don't know, he'll probably stay in Ohio. PA's taxes are a little high. So he might stay on your side of that line. But one thing that I wanted to bring up too while you were on is, you know, the cryptid sightings in Appalachia, it doesn't have to just be the frogman. There's so many sightings up and down the Appalachian Trail of things that people can't explain. And most of them don't even get to tell their stories, first of all. And two, being of a certain lifestyle, they're not believed. You know what I mean? He'll call it, you know. But there's something going on with the Appalachians. Even to the point where you are, Jenny, you know, Chestnut Ridge in that area. Western PA, all the way down to Tennessee, has a number of missing persons, a number of cryptid sightings, a number of cave systems. Is it possible the Frogman is a flesh and blood in this dimension, all, you know, not an alien, all of that, that figures out how to get out of the cave every once in a while, or needs to for whatever reason, and then goes back in? What do you think about that theory?
That is possible. I don't know of any cave systems close to the Loveland area. I know we have Ohio Caverns, which is kind of further out by Hamilton area. And then further down in Kentucky, there's Mammoth Caves. But who knows? There could be anything down below.
Wonderful.
Yeah, because those caves go so deep. And how do you – there's just no way for people to go in them. And they're so dense there, too. All around the like, there's so many people missing too. Did you notice that?
If you ever
check out, they get lost. They go for a walk and turn around.
You know, would be a great tool in a cave, a drone.
That could be really cool, especially an FPV drone. Those go through some really tight areas.
Yeah, I mean, look, pictures.
You can take some. Now, how would they be in the dark? You would know better than I would. So they got night vision, all that.
Some of them do have night vision, not any that, I guess we've got a thermal, so that could help a little bit.
Yeah, that'll work.
But we don't have one with IR or anything like that yet. I know Expedition Bigfoot had a drone that went into a cave, and they found evidence of something hairy living in there that knocked the drone over. So that is definitely an option to go exploring.
Are you insured for frogman damage? General liability.
Insured company.
Did you stake out the lake or anything around there? That you, did you go at night? And,
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
You never saw anything coming at you?
Yeah. No, we went a couple times. One time we actually camped out and was up all hours of the night with our thermal camera looking for this guy. We had some game cameras set up. We even had some fish laying out next to the river, trying to see if we could entice him to come out, and not even a raccoon came up to eat it.
He didn't like what you, what does a frog like to eat? Don't they like, crickets, insects. Or insects?
Insects, they will eat some fish. Sometimes they'll eat other frogs, especially a 4-foot frog. It's going to eat anything it can fit in its mouth.
It's going to have to be.
He's just a frog. They just took too much of that stuff that they want to give the cows. What is that, growth hormone that they're pumping into cows? Well, maybe he got into a bin. You know, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, he was the fifth one, and he didn't let him play in any reindeer games.
Yeah, so, seriously. I mean, that like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Okay, so they got into a bin of radioactive.
He was celiac.
I'm being serious. He got into a bin of some kind of. Why not? Because they're giving that to the cows. Like, we were just having this discussion with my family tonight because I couldn't believe all this bioengineered food. I couldn't believe the Quest chips had it. I go, oh. And then I looked on my protein powder. It is in there. So what? Why couldn't this frog get into something like that? And just kept on eating it or something, and he got really big. Yeah, I'm being totally serious.
This is the thing with cryptids, right? And the paranormal is, you know, since there is no, you know, definite proof yet, we can always theorize about everything. But that raises an interesting point, Jenny, because if your theory is correct and this happened back in the 50s, that means this stuff was going in food well before we thought it was going in food.
Yeah, because you don't know what they're putting in our food. And I was really shocked that they were putting this in the milk. And there's a name for it. R something. What is it? Growth hormone they stick in milk. And
now could this, he got into it and it, you know, it was unchecked and it raised his.
Come on, that's what they talk about.
His growth rate.
Seriously, it's called RBST, previously called bovine growth hormone that they put in. What they do is they inject the hormone into the cows to increase the milk production. They have it in cheeses, yogurt, ice cream. I can't believe it. It's everywhere. And it could have happened with this frog. It could happen with anything that's really tall or big. What about the fish? You know, those huge fish that they found swimming that walked. They walked the fish. Why? That's probably what happened. They probably got in hold of this stuff. And you know what else this stuff does? It causes breast cancer. It causes all kind of growth problems in children. And they said it has increased the prostate cancer too. They're injecting it in the cows. Okay. Now I'm thinking this frog probably took a big chunk of that. Maybe he probably got into it. I don't know when they started it. Did you read up? I'm going to see if we can know when.
Yeah, I'm not sure when they started it, but you know, yeah, what it's always been an issue, and it's more of an issue now that you can't really trust unless you grow it yourself, and even then. You know, even then, I don't even know if you can trust what you're fertilizing with. But a really crazy case of rapid growth instituted by a chemical reaction from something it ate. That happens all the time with cancer. It's an accelerated growth rate of cells caused by an external force.
I just want to see when it was invented.
It could have affected him.
Okay, there we go. It was invented in 1920.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
So it could happen. He could have got into this stuff and drank it, and he got tall and big.
Yeah. So there we go.
There we go. And it can produce. No, this is really serious. This is really serious because it could have happened. It's produced, a hormone produced in the pituitary gland of the cow. And what they do is they take it out and they inject more of it, not just a little. So it produces, makes the milk production more. And so what it does is it makes them big too. So it can happen.
I believe the pituitary gland is directly responsible for your growth, you know, and things like that. So messing with that gland,
Nicole said it was government experimenting. Yeah, sure. It could have been this. It could have been even something more powerful that did it. Think about it. It's a frog. They like to go in water. Maybe they had some outside. There's so many movies like on the X-Files. They dump the barrels in the water and all that crap goes through the water. And look what happened to East Palestine with all their chemicals and the train wreck. It's probably all in the water.
Your area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep our eyes open for a new sighting then here in a few years, you know, based off the things of that. Lauren, are you working on any more projects or coming down the pipe with in regards to drone or being a director or film or anything like that?
So we are going to be helping out with the Loveland Shorts Film Festival. Because of winning the award, they asked us to come and speak on using drones for films. So that'll be pretty exciting. Cool. And so that is going to be the first year for this. So they're doing a wonderful job getting the theater ready, and they've got so many great surprises in store. And that's something that, again, on Film Freeway, anybody, if you're a into making films, I think it has to be 20 minutes or shorter, you can submit to the Loveland Shorts Film Festival. They're expecting a big crowd that weekend. It's August 2nd through the 4th. And again, we'll be there. I'm working on a film for it as well. No spoilers, but it is going to be nature themed, and it is going to involve some sort of first person video, drone video.
Do you just do like an nature stuff, or do you do other things? In film?
So for the film, it's mostly nature stuff. My other company is Wild Developments, and it's all about using art and adventure to inspire people to explore outside. There are so many health benefits
in
disconnecting from our phones and reconnecting with nature and just being outside. And I really fear that we are getting so far away from that and just always plugged into our phones and our computers. So I'm really on a mission to inspire people through my artwork. I do watercolor photography and wildlife photography, and the drones come into that too. But I also have a podcast, Wild Developments, and it's having people tell their stories and inspiring other people to get outside.
Awesome.
Yes, that is wonderful. So let's encapsulate Finding Frogman, right? If you had to say what was the most interesting thing you found working on that project, what would it be?
Well, the most interesting thing, of course, is I like the end. That was our part where we made it as Finding Bigfoot-esque as possible with the, here's the footage and it's up to you to decide what you think it is. Because the game camera, we did catch something. Not exactly sure what it is. It's up for interpretation, what somebody thinks it might be. And so that part was a lot of fun. But the best part about the entire film was seeing how much the community has come together in all of this and how passionate they get talking about Frogman, and just to see the way that they light up. And then they start talking about other things in nature and our local animals. And so it was just really cool how it was all connected.
Cool. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. That's wonderful though. I'm glad. And the town seems to be rallying around it, and maybe you can run for mayor in the future too. You know,
since
you brought a roar down to back to Loveland.
Well, I'm hopefully moving to Florida here in the next couple of years.
I want to go.
All new cryptids down there.
Now, you're going to have your pick, I should say, down there of weird things, cryptids, UFOs, you name it. But the drone footage is going to be very nice, too.
Yeah. I know about Skunk Ape. What else? You got UFOs?
Well, apparently they have huge boas and snakes down there. And UFOs, you know, because swamp gas, people claim it's swamp gas, but really they're UFOs that are around.
How do you feel, since you're into, this is totally off topic, but you're into nature. Well, how do you feel about grounding outside?
Oh, I love it.
You do that?
Yeah, I do grounding. I am certified in forest bathing and teaching classes on forest bathing. There are so many different ways to ground, too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Nature journaling is one of my favorites. It really just gets you in the present moment, and it's so relaxing.
I watched that movie, the documentary on grounding. I can't remember the man's name who made the documentary. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. There was one segment where you would go outside, take all your clothes off, and lay on the grass. I tried that with a blanket. It was hysterical. My poor family.
Oh.
What are you doing? I had a blanket on me.
I have a blanket.
I love I love grounding. I touch the trees. I hug the trees. I'm a grounder. My feet are black in the spring and summer and winter. Even in the winter, I ground. I go outside and walk in the snow. Yeah, I'm all for grounding. Mm. Most definitely.
Do you know hugging a tree actually has the same benefits as hugging a person?
So my tree's closed. What's that?
And they don't talk back, so.
No, seriously, my tree has healing powers, and I will say this to the day I die, that my tree saved me. My back was really screwed up. My dog, I don't know if you saw those comedy things on TikTok where the person has a retractable leash. Did you ever see that with a dog?
Yeah.
Well, my dog saw a squirrel, and I just went flying. I went flying up in the air and flat on my back. And my legs went numb. I could not walk. I could not do anything. It was horrible. It was the most, I went to a neurosurgeon. I was almost ready to have surgery. And I'm sitting watching the movie with a little girl who falls through the tree. And I told my mom, I looked at her. It was on Netflix. I said, Mom, I wonder if I went outside and did that, but hugged the tree and then looked up at the sky and told God to heal me. And so I went right outside. I'll never forget, as long as I live, wrapped my arms around the tree, and there was these two places where the limbs were cut. So it was fresh, you know, and they cut the limbs because they were going to kill somebody. So I put my hands where the limbs were cut, and I just held the tree, and I looked up at the stars, you know, the sky and the branches, and I said, okay, these limbs are like antennas to heaven. So this is perfect. So I asked God, please heal my legs, heal my legs. The next day I went outside. I was my dog has a little where he goes to potty. And I was in there doing it, you know, picking up the stuff. And I looked at the tree where I had my hands. And I'm like, oh my God, it looks like an eye. So I looked up and something was drawing me to it. And on where my hands went on the one, there was ingrained in the wood was a face, and it looked like Christ. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, wow.
I am not kidding you. I went on the elliptical, and I couldn't even go on the elliptical. My legs would go numb. And I got on. It was 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, no numbness. The next day, I did it again. That from that moment on, my legs were healed. And I will say this, and I even have pictures of it that I saved. I must have told this story 100 times on here, but I saved the pictures because I'm not crazy. And if you look at it, you can see it. And I just, from then on, whenever I feel like my legs, because I was in a car accident like in 2018 and I almost lost my leg, it's every time it starts acting up, I go outside, put my hands on that tree, and they want to cut the tree down because there's fungus on it. Now I'm like, I don't want to lose my tree. I don't want to. I love my tree. Yeah. I will cry. I will have it had a sister tree right next to it. And the trees were polluted with cardinals. And that was after my dad had passed away, and they made a nest in the one tree, and we had to cut it down because it was struck by lightning. And then they migrate to this tree, and this is my healing tree. And I said, I cannot get rid of this tree, but I totally agree with you. Grounding is trees are the most wonderful thing in the world. And they heal you.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
That's a wonderful story. Yeah,
isn't it a wonderful story? Yeah, I was going to write about it. No, I was going to write about it. And then because people think you're, but I truly believe, and then it was funny because this is really the power of positive thinking. Because right after that movie, we did a double feature. My mom was in her 80s and I loved spending time with her while she was alive. But we were watching a double feature, and the next one was about the little boy who believed. It's called The Little Boy. I don't know if anybody saw it out there, but it's called The Little Boy. It was about this little boy that believed he could bring his dad home from war safe. And he believed he could move things with his mind. And so I said, okay, that's when I went outside. I said, okay, there's the tree that heals, and I'm going to do that positive thinking. I believe, because he kept on saying, I believe, and I was healed through the grace of God and the tree and nature. But it's a good story, but it happened. I'm not kidding. I will never, ever forget that as long as I live. So I love going outside.
You should tell more people, write a book about it. I think more people, the more amazing experiences you have, and you're not afraid to tell people.
Oh, yeah.
People.
It's just like, I don't know. See, some people make, like, my family thinks I was nuts probably because they'll catch me every once in a while hugging my tree.
Well,
that's okay. But
as long as you don't think you're nuts, that's all.
No, it's sad though because it's polluted with fungus.
That's a bummer.
It's like, yeah. It sucks. Huh? Nicole said she, yeah, I met this tree was, it's a red maple. It's a red maple. And it's the only thing I don't like about the tree is it has those helicopters and we have a pool.
Oh, so yeah, that's going to get in there.
And they're supposed to only happen every 2 to 5 years, I think. So I'm hoping this is the year, because last year was horrible. We had them everywhere. Little helicopter thing, seeds. But yeah, trees are wonderful.
But no, it's great. And I have heard that too, the disconnecting from electronics and getting back into nature and spending time outside. Because how many times do people just spend time outside going from, you know, from their house to their car and then from wherever they go to going inside that place? That seems to be the only time people go outside, at least for the majority, and especially over here in the East Coast, you know, it's rush until you're in the grave. So, you know, it's really rough, but, you know, Native Americans, right? They knew where to set up camps. They could read the forest. They could read the trees. They could read the ley lines. They could read where positive energy is. You know what I mean? Game trails. And that's, if you drop the average person out in the woods, they're not going to know any of that.
No.
And that's not even supernatural paranormal. That's just studying your surroundings.
Yeah, and they knew what they could and couldn't eat when they're out there. You're right. And we can, and that just that goes back to the whole government testing thing. They want us relying on them and
their
resources. We can grow our own fruits and vegetables in our own yards. Like, why not?
Unfortunately, that's the way it is. So, Lauren, where can people find you and find your documentary if they like to watch it?
So the documentary is on YouTube. It's called Finding Frogman. And the company is jlaerialviews.com. And that's for all the drone stuff and for all the stuff they do with the wildlife podcasts and wildlife photography. That's wilddevelopmentstudio.com.
There you go. Well, it was a pleasure having you today.
Absolutely. New Orleans, Gulf Coast, get on it. Go ahead and check out her video. Go ahead and check out her podcast.
Definitely.
And JL Aerial Views.
Yeah. Well, you have a great night and thanks again for coming on.
Yes. Thank you so much.
That was nice. She's a nice girl. I like
Very her. Nice. Yes.
It's funny. Her son, I think, was in the chat, was out telling her that I can hear you in the basement.
Wonderful.
That's nice. Yeah.
Sure that was yours or
no, her. No. I think it was hers because she said, hi, mom. And I know that wasn't my kid.
Yeah.
It was hers.
No, very lively and driven. That's what I respect about her too. You don't find very, and not to be any kind of way, but you don't find many women directors, you know, and I'm happy she did that.
Yeah, he just said Mr. Penguin.
Mr. Penguin.
Still here.
Yes. Nice. Great job, Mr. Penguin.
I still think that the frog man, if there is a frog man running around, probably he got into something that did that because it's just weird that we were just talking about that.
No, you're so right. You're so right. And you know why? Because you can test things so many times and get the same results, right? But there's always that margin for error. You know, some people are allergic to Advil. Now, how many Advil have you taken in your life?
Oh,
so, you know what I mean? So when you have that, who's to say that this certain DNA of this certain amphibian reacted in a certain way with this new chemical? Because that's what it is, new chemical in its body. And it set the pituitary gland on overdrive and it kept growing and growing and growing. Now, when a frog hops, the frog legs extend like that. So if you catch a side glance mid hop, you would think it's upright. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the angle of how it jumped.
Look at Marvel Comics. I mean, all of them, Spider-Man, all of them, the Hulk, they're all from chemicals that they got into. So I think this could be something like that. I mean, I don't want to ever run into them because we have a pond here.
He's just going to be out there chilling, you know, yeah, in your area.
Well, it's so funny that we're talking about Frogman. I mean, this is so weird. My life is just a comical. I just,
your life is a movie. You know that, right?
It is. It's scary.
Somebody's watching somewhere.
Yeah, I believe it. I just painted all my frogs. I have all these frog statues, and we're talking about Frogman. I mean, I just painted like 8 different frog people outside my pond. One's sitting on a lounge chair. One's playing an accordion. That's what I just said. I'm going to send you a picture. That. I'm just going to giggles. I just did this, and we're talking about Frogman. It's like a nightmare. Well, I'm going to go to bed tonight, and there's gigantic frogs going to be on top.
You reached into the stream of consciousness and pulled that out without you knowing. That's what happened.
You know what? I've been doing these meditation things on Halo every morning where I sit for 10 minutes.
How is that? Do you like it?
I love Halo. Okay. It's changed my life. I started doing.
I've heard so many people, but I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, I got my kids to do it too. I started doing this Jesus challenge with a girl on TikTok. Her name is Grace something, and you write "Good morning, Jesus," and you write a journal, and then you write down. Now, this wasn't part of it. This is what I added because I saw one of the somebody who did it. Some Harvey, what's his name? You know Harvey, the black guy, Harvey something.
Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey, he says, you write down, he said he does it 100 times, everything he's so grateful for. Yeah, the Jesus 100? Challenge. Yeah, that's cool. You do it too. So we should be friends. Hook me up. Send me an email. Wild Development Studios, Lauren. Dude, seriously. I do it every morning and I meditate and I write down 100 times what I'm grateful for. My gratitude journal. Everything I'm grateful for another day. Got out of bed today. I could walk today because I'm so grateful I can walk. And I do that. And then I love it. And then it has each, you don't have to be Catholic. You can be any kind of denomination.
Yeah,
and it has like all these cool, like it can't sleep at night. And it's the guy, Jonathan Rumi, that he's Jesus on the Chosen. And he narrates a lot of it. And so as soon as I put it on, I fall asleep. So it's perfect. You do the scriptures, you do this, and I do it every day. And I got really mad because Sunday I didn't do it. I went to church on Saturday, but I missed my fingers Sunday and I missed doing it. So I was so mad and I didn't get to do it that I hurried up at night and I hurried up and write my journal, my gratitude journal, because I'd be grateful. Because God won't give you anything else in your life unless you are grateful for what he has given you now.
Yeah.
And I've learned that the hard way because I lost, oh my God, my parents. I lost my brother, 2-3 siblings in their 40s. And you know, that's tough. So I'm grateful for my grandkids. I got 2, 1, 3 grandkids. I love them to death. And I said, you got to be grateful. And nature, oh my God, I do. That story is true. I'll have to find the picture and send it to you because I see it. Everybody around me saw it. And that's not the only thing that happened to me, but the face of Christ. I had a garden. This was after my brother died. He died from an overdose. He's 40 years old. He was a businessman. He got involved with a stripper and got involved, and she was a heroin addict. Got him hooked on heroin. And my parents went into atrial fib when they were going through the grieving process. And my mom gave me and my sisters rosary beads. And I was the only one I think that actually used them. But I would go in my yard, my garden, and I would say the rosary. And I made this beautiful garden out of nothing. It was the most horrible part of my yard. And I'm praying the rosary and I'm thanking God and Jesus for my beautiful garden. And my dad got me a Blessed Mother statue, and I'm praying. And I said, oh, thank you. Thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful God. I only wish I had a statue of Jesus. And I opened my eyes, and on the fence, it was a privacy fence, like an old one. Engrained in, it was not there. Ingrained in the wood was his face, a face of Christ on the wood. And I still get chills. And I hurried up, ran, and got my mom, and she came and seen it. And people would come and they'd see it in my yard, like family. And it was the most coolest thing. It was a gift. It was like he heard me. It was a gift. And it was the most wonderful place, but I hurt my legs again and I couldn't go in there and it got overgrown, but it was a beautiful place where I would pray.
There's messages all around you every day, and it's up to us to keep our eyes and ears open to receive. And if you know how they say when you pray, you talk to God, and when you meditate, you get answers from God. And so, you know, opening yourself up to that, and I'm not trying to force anything on anybody, but you do, it seems that the people that are more receptive to that do get messages.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of faces of Christ, and I from the time I was 16, I'll tell you about it, Tom, when we're done. But I was so mesmerized by it that I had an urge to paint what I saw, and I did paint it. And I won the award in the Christian art. Yeah, I'll have to show it to you. But the reason people say, what? She's not that light. I saw a vision of Christ that was when I was 16 years old, and it was so white and so bright. The light was so bright.
Pure light, energy.
I could not paint it. And so my picture came out. He's really white. And people goes, Christ isn't really white like that. I said, well, yeah, what was my vision? And when I saw
him, you're drawing your vision. Cool. You're not drawing a historical accuracy, you know, thing.
Yeah. So it did win. I won a couple prizes on that. But it was, there was another, I won a couple prizes of Christ pictures. And it was so cool. I'll have to tell you about it. You're going to like it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear this.
But Sean's going to get mad at me. My buddy Sean, my Duke of mine, get my viewers back. So you guys, thank you for coming tonight. And tomorrow night, next week, we'll get more viewers.
Great chat room too, guys.
Yeah. Thank you so much for tuning in to us. Yes, Nicole. Oh, Nicole, do it. Do it. Paint it. You got to paint it. You got to paint it. And do it while it's fresh in your mind. If you don't, it just goes away. But thank you again for tuning in. And thank you, UPRN Radio. And thank you, all the people who are watching live. And I have to play something real quick for you. Instead of outro? Is that how you call it?
Yeah, outro. Yep.
So maybe you could, this is my book. It's a little bit of advertising. So watch it.